This episode of Watch What Crap Happens is brought to you by our Patreon premium sponsors, Christy Dougherty, Cindy Gerson, Kelly Barlow, and Jess Sayin. Thank you.
Watch what crap happens. Watch what crap happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crap happens?
Happens. Happens.
Happens.
Watch what crap happens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Old Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. And joining me is the lovable and wonderful and just scrumptious Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Bricks Bachelor podcast. What is up, Ronnie?
Ben!
Yes!
It's a rough morning. I was wondering why today I felt sad. I was blaming a popover's binge.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized it's because I watched 3 hours of the Bachelorette finale and then recorded Rose Pricks for another 2.5 about it. And
on
I'm
Tuesday.
Very sad. I mean,
yeah.
What's the point of just like going with the easy choice and not really going for true hot love, guys?
Well, Ronnie, it's so strange that you watched all that and recorded it all the way on a Friday morning.
Well, you know, we're a little late with Rose Pricks sometimes.
Because we record this on Friday mornings, don't we?
You know why I'm a truthful person? Because I'm too stupid to lie. I've always been like that ever since a little kid. I'm too stupid to lie. So, you know, you just get stuck with my truth or a really bad lie where you know it's the truth. So it's kind of like being truthful.
Well, by the time everyone is listening to this episode, lots of exciting things have happened. Well, really mainly one exciting thing has happened, which is that our tickets for our Chicago shows, which are both on September 27th, have gone on sale. That's right. Chicago tickets are on sale. Get them now while you can. It's Lincoln Hall. It's going to be a show at 6:30. There's going to be a show at 9. There are regular tickets. There are VIP tickets. The club has seats for pretty much everyone, but not everyone is guaranteed a seat. So you don't want to be stuck standing on the back wall there. But if you get a VIP ticket, you do get a guaranteed seat. So if people want to know what that's all about, that's what that is. But regardless, that's going to be such an amazing night. And of course, we have our LA show. We announced earlier this week that Jeff Lewis and Gage Edward and Jenny Poulos, three of the stars of Flipping Out, are going to be our guests at our LA show. And I'm so excited. I cannot.
I'm so excited too. We've been doing this now, you know, like 6 years. It's a long time.
Yeah.
And I am amazed that A, we can still be having this much fucking fun. B, not waiting tables. And C, learning about all this new shit. Like going on tour, we never had any idea we would meet so many people.
Yeah.
And also that they would be so much like us, like-minded people.
Exactly.
I love doing it. It's my new favorite thing. I'm going to do it all the time.
I know. And like, it's cool that we have people like Jeff Lewis coming onto our live show because, I mean, he is one of the megastars of Bravo. He's probably one of their top, I would say he's one of their top five stars, right? He's in the league with Bethany and Nene and Candy and like whoever else who are like Lisa Vanderpump, right? Marquee stars of Bravo. It's Jeff Lewis. And the fact that he's coming onto our show, I am like beside myself. And you know, who knows? We may even have some other people who come by. We'll see. We'll let you know if anyone does. But for right now, wow.
So excited.
So get your tickets. WatchWhatCrapPens.com is where you can get all your tickets.
Another thing that can still surprise me after all this time is that they can still make housewives shows that are this fucking funny.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically just spin off this format into whatever. They're like, get a bunch of rich, insecure, aging people.
Yeah.
And just put them on TV and just watch them fall apart slowly and ruin each other's lives for fun. And how it can still be so much fun to watch, even in places I've never even thought of. Like, I mean, only not thought of because I'm ignorant and, you know, American and don't leave my house. But Auckland, who knew?
Who knew? Who knew that we'd have a Real Housewives of Auckland before a Real Housewives of Chicago, actually?
I mean, when we can start off a recap with these notes, with tits like that, you're not a normal size model. Get over it.
Yeah.
And you're a Saudi whore. I mean, you know it's going to be a good show.
It's, yeah, New Zealand is, or Auckland is really winning its way into my heart. Like, I'm absolutely loving it. I hope everyone sees it. I hope it catches on in the way that Melbourne caught on in sort of a cult way for American audiences. I really hope New Zealand does too.
Oh my God, Gina just posted today, another season in the can. Melbourne coming soon. Oh, and it reminds me, we were watching this video this weekend of Gina's commercial. Let's face it. What is it called? I forget.
Impavido.
Let's face it. I'm Gina.
Let's face it. I'm not scared. I said to that bad scent, get out of my body right this instant.
Sometimes I'm right. Sometimes I'm wrong. I'm Gina.
I'm Gina. I wish
Don't you want the smell of romance? It's like, no, that's sperm.
I'm Gina. She literally says that. Yeah, I'm Gina. Like,
she's like, hey, I'm Gina. with this romantic music playing in the background, and Gina's just so fucking deadpan. I love it.
It's amazing.
So let's get into this Real Housewives of Auckland recap, shall we, Ben?
I feel totally great about doing that. So we open up this week's episode over at Anne's house. She's feeding her cats. First she's in her kitchen, and there's some roast chicken, and she's like, champagne, champagne. And this time champagne is actually her cat, and she's not actually calling out for booze.
I laughed so hard when the first line of the whole thing is, champagne!
The champagne, darling!
And the husband's sitting on the couch like, ooh, this will come to you soon, darling.
Champagne is my number one pussy. It actually said that as the Chiron. It said, champagne, number one pussy.
And the editors or camera people are obviously mortified that she's roasting a chicken for a cat. Because they keep showing, like, the chicken carcass, you know, and then the cat in the eye line.
She probably did not roast that. Probably one of her servants went and got a rotisserie chicken from the supermarket and then told her that they were slaving away on it for the past 3 hours.
I want a husband like her husband, because this is the kind of perfect husband that every overdramatic old lady needs, like me. He's like, why are you giving champagne to the leg when I prefer the leg to the breast? It's another example of me being sickened.
She's like, that's the way it is, isn't it? Champagne gets all the good parts of the chicken. He loves our kids, but I'm pushing the limits a little bit.
And we find out she's going to have a party for her charity.
It's the clear cats. It's all the pussies, darling.
Pussy galore party, darling.
Then we get more over narration
by Michelle.
I've invited Michelle over to Goose Creek to talk about clearing the pussies.
And then Michelle's like, Anne's invited me over to Goose Creek to talk about clearing pussies. I hope she doesn't mean cats. I don't do cats.
Michelle is of the Ina Garten School of Narration, where she speaks quietly and at a low tone. I mean, so they have to amp the volume up. So it's always like, Ian has invited me over to go to look at Goose Creek. We're going to look at cats. I don't do cats. I'm very concerned.
She has that scrunched up face because her jaw kind of comes out under. She has kind of an underbite.
Yeah,
and she'll stick out her jaw and then put her lip up like under her top lip, so she's always looking like And she's like got kind of this cross-eyed look. It's so funny that such a beautiful model can make that face just with her personality. Like her face is kind of, it's like not resting bitch face, but resting like what the fuck bitch face.
Resting everyday model face. Yeah. Or every size model, I should say. So Michelle comes over and she hates cats and she's visibly uneasy being there with all those cats in that cage. And I liked Anne. She goes, well, she was a bit of like a cat on a hot tin roof, you know, like she was like, get me out of here. And she's all like this and on her tiptoes. I was like, yes, we know what cat on a hot tin roof is. You don't have to actually like elaborate on the metaphor.
I know, even though you're trying to explain that you're not calling her a broke down whore relying on the kindness of strangers, you're right both ways.
She's like a big daddy, perhaps a closeted gay man in a relationship. Brick. Is his name Brick?
Who? It's the Pussy Palace! They're abandoned but lovely.
She's like, God, I've already come through the Pussy Palace, darling. I found my chubby man. Found a floor that we have to take our shoes off on to walk on. All right. Been through the Pussy Palace. Don't need yours.
And Anne, she's just, you know, Anne is very Lisa Vanderpump-y. She's like New Zealand's answer to Lisa Vanderpump. You know, she's wealthy. She doesn't give a shit. And she likes making these women feel, you know, uncomfortable. She's like, I took a bit of a perverse pleasure in taking you out of a comfort zone.
The way she acted was quite amusing.
Michelle's like, smelled like pussy, all right. Her ugly, her what the fuck face.
Yes. So, she says,
why do the cats seem nervous? Like, they look nervous. And she goes,
they can fear when people don't have an affinity with them, darling. It's not only the alpha models for the tourism board.
It's not only the bus stop models, okay? And she's like, guess what she says next?
Let's have some champagne!
I'd really like to have some champagne. So Anne, they wind up going up to her bedroom, and Anne has this furry vest thing, and she wants Michelle to model it for the charity show for an auction at the Pussy Galore fundraiser thing, etc.
Yeah.
And then they just start looking at all sorts of fur coats, which just seems like strange.
Tons of furs. Like, she's got them coming. Well, furs didn't used to be so bad, you know? That's, like, fairly recent where people started standing up for those little fuckers.
Yeah.
She's like,
I'm going to have an auction at my pussy party. Look at all these furs.
It's like, I've already been through this as well. I've already been auctioned at a pussy party. It's when I found my chunky husband. Are you listening to me, Anne?
And Michelle's like, I was in Mink Heaven. Unfortunately, so they. I'll be here all night, Michelle.
I love her auctioning off dead animals at her Save the Animals.
Exactly. And Michelle wanted a free fur coat so badly because Anne's like, oh, I don't know what to do with all these furs anymore. I don't even like them anymore. They're so ridiculous. I don't need them. They're just all over
this
here.
This one is goat.
She said that.
Goat?
Goat.
This one is goat.
She's like, do you feel bad? Who feels bad for a goat? No.
This one is 100% furry caterpillar. They had to kill 10,000 caterpillars to make this fur coat.
This is Rocco's back, fiancé number 3. And why let a good dead man go to waste, darling? Bah, Pussy Palace.
This one is pure ferret. Nothing but ferret.
So Michelle's like, this one is so me, Anne. I'll take this one. She's like,
oh, it was 8,020 years ago.
You know, this is something that seniors do. I used to have a roommate that did this. It wasn't a senior, so I don't know why I said that. But she had this IKEA couch, and I was like, that is hideous. Do you want me to recover it? Because I will recover that thing. And she's like, well, I would rather you buy it first. And it was like $9,000. I said, how old is it? She said, 7 years. I said, you don't get the same money 7 years later for an IKEA couch. You're going to sell this for like $50, you idiot.
Yeah, it's called depreciation.
I know, but people think 8,000 20 years ago is now 20,000 today. It's like, it doesn't work the same way, guys.
No. Okay. No, there has to be some sort of artistry behind it.
Yeah, you don't get a cost of living increase for your old dead animal that you wear.
Speaking of old dead animals, Julia now is talking about beauty treatments. She loves Botox and filler, and in case you didn't really believe her, you just have to listen to her talk. She can barely move her lips. She's like, yeah. I'm going to get the vampire treatment now. It's this thing where the Count Dracula bites your neck off, and then you look younger. It's wonderful.
She has that creepy Joker / Felicity smile.
I love looking good.
Yikes. So she goes to the Skin Institute, where, you know, we all want to teach our skin how to behave. Okay, hope your skin does well.
This is the Skin Institute, which is much, it's different from whatever that institute was that Angie went to last week to get the diggers taken out of the bick.
I'm getting a Vin Bai treatment. I don't know anyone else who's had it done.
That's usually not a good thing, you know? They, like, trick college students into signing away their rights to get treatments like that, because you'll get a goat head growing out of your neck and shit.
Usually when you get bitten by a vampire, not a lot of people do find out about that. Used to be, it's usually the end of the line for communication.
It's a vampire Lestat treatment. I don't know anyone else who's had it done.
We've seen the movie, okay? So for some reason, I think because it's another town where they're not allowed to film anywhere, she's like, I've invited Louise and Anne to join me. I'm like, okay. She's like, you want to come watch me get a treatment at a doctor?
Yeah, they're like, all right, we got nothing all else right. to do.
Like, lunch would be nice.
My drama troupe is in between sessions, so why not?
Can we munch on your runoff, darling?
We were just about to do a rehearsal for The Curious Case of the Dog at Midnight, but I think this seems like a better thing to do.
I'll come watch your treatment, but I would like a program that announces me as Louise, playing the role of Louise.
I have a question. Is this vampire treatment? Is this equity? No? Is it EFTRA? No?
Can I add the F word in here? I've found that it's a great way to raise awareness of your project.
Before we start with this vampire treatment, I would like very much for everyone to turn off their cell phones or put them on silence. Thank you very much.
I like when Louise goes, yes, well, the neck is a bit of a problem on the woman. The face can stay, but the neck goes. It's sad, really.
And Julia's saying, you know, she's getting her vampire treatment on the neck, and she's like, I just want it because I just want my neck to be a little more flawless. I'm like, there's going to be a lot of vampires. Okay, it'll be like six sequels to Twilight to get that neck right.
I like that that's her reason. Like, there's other reasons.
Well, I'd like this treatment because, you know, it makes candy taste better.
Of course you want it to be more flawless, you idiot. What the hell else are you there?
And Louise is like, I don't understand why you need all that numbing. It's going to hurt. That's why I don't like it.
They put all this goop on her neck, and Louise goes, she's like, I wouldn't want that on me. Okay. Glad we all have a strong opinion in this scene. And she's giving the doctor this dirty look. And then what did Anne say?
Anne was
sick. Oh, this doesn't bother me. I've been many times de-sixing on the kitchen table.
She was like, oh, I'm the cat's vet or something like that. I've taken the cat to the vet many times. I've seen so many. I've been to war, basically. I've taken champagne to the vet. And then I took Nudger to the vet. And then I took little Nugget Facey to the vet. And then I went to see cats. And then after cats, I went to the vet. Just for fun?
I'm still waiting to take Betty Buckley to the vet.
But I swear she said,
I've been many times de-sexing on the kitchen table. Please tell me you are not de-sexing your cats on your kitchen table. Please.
But it wasn't a piece of chicken that she was serving.
God, she's like, I've learned just what to do to the little vaginal canal. Cats can have babies.
It's like, whoa, weirdo. And Louise goes, was that Richard? I love these bitches. I love them.
So the doctor starts, she basically takes some of Julia's blood, puts it into a vial, sends it through a centrifuge to separate out the plasma from whatever else is in there. And then I believe she injects the plasma, or I don't know, she injects one of the liquids into Julia's neck, and just they're just poking it all in everywhere and then wiping it down. And while Julia's getting this, that's when Anne decides she's going to start confronting her about, you know, about how Julia told Gilda that Anne said that she was a gold digger and all this stuff. And, of course, Julia's denying this whole thing. She's saying, well, you said that she was a gold digger, and I thought that she should know. It's my right to tell her. I'm like, you're the one who said She was a gold digger, and Anne goes, gold digger? Like, Anne, all she did was repeat what you said. We saw it in the flashback.
Yeah, and she's like,
you dragged it out of me, and you told me.
And she's like,
I was right to tittle. I've had people say it about me.
And Louise is like, yes, because you're a gold digger. That's why people have said it about you. I like that she's trying to go up against the older ladies, and they're not fucking having her. And she goes,
If a man is with a younger woman, she must be a gold digger. Did you say that about me?
And Anne goes,
yes.
She goes, yes. Yes, yes. I love the way she says yes. It's with an I. Yes.
He made it sound like I was at fault.
You were at fault.
Yeah. All these bitches are dumb. You can't go up against the former host of The Weakest Link, okay?
Or Anne. Anne de-sexes her own cats on her fucking kitchen counter. You really want to fuck with her?
Anne wears furs to animal charity events, okay? She does not give a fuck.
She's like, and Julie at the end, she's like,
how do I look, ladies?
And they just stare at her with a horrified face, and Anne goes,
really red, actually.
And Louise goes, horrifying.
It looks really bad. Actually, what Anne does is, she goes, when Julia says, how do I look? She goes, very red. Aren't you pleased we came?
She's so pissed, but she deserves it. And now she's going to try and go up against these two.
Yeah, good. Julia's luck. She's also complaining, too. She's like, they made me feel like it was all my fault. It was all my fault that I called her a gold digger and then made Anne say she was a gold digger, and then I told everyone it was Anne. Then it seemed like it was my fault. I'm like, it is your fault, you stupid bitch.
I suppose it's my fault that Kanye Weston wrote that song about gold diggers. I suppose that's my fault as well.
All I did was write the second lyric of that of the chorus. That's all.
So now we get to go to crazy ass bus stop model Angela.
Yes.
With her assistant.
Ugly Betty. Since she's French, it's Ugly Bette.
Really Bette.
Because this girl, she's not ugly.
She's a very cute girl, but so was America Ferrara. They're just like, put glasses on her and we'll call her ugly.
Yeah. This girl, Leah, she's not ugly at all, but she's styled to look like someone who's supposed to have a makeover at one point. You know, like, it's, again, the glasses, the buttoned-up shirts, like, weird layers, and she just, it's like Mary Catherine Gallagher meets Ugly Betty. And you know that actually Angie intentionally made her look dress like that, so that way midway through the season she's going to say, I've decided to give Leah a makeover. Now look at her. She's beautiful.
It's a lifestyle makeover. One minute she was in a plaid private girl's uniform. Now look at her. She's in a tight color block dress, streamlined, which I appreciate.
So we're seeing they're at like a coffee shop conducting work, and like
I'm sure she's like, yes, hello, governor. Yes, governor of Herne Bay. And then they're in a tea shop called Governor.
Yes.
What is your deal with governing?
She's just reading things off the side of the wall. Latte macchiato. Yes. She's like, I'm sorry, I've had a really busy day, Mr. Obama. Sure, I can schedule you in.
Hello, Starbuck. Yes, I do understand what it's been like dealing with all those Cylons. How can we teach them color blocking?
Oh, hello there, Mr. Sumatra. Yes, deep roast. I agree. Alanis Morissette, new CD acoustic. I agree.
Yes, I do want to help your government coffee bin on.
We do have to fix the Ethiopian crisis in Colombia.
She is ridiculous. She's obviously just faking it. And she goes, my life is absolutely hectic. I run households. I run children at the same time. Being a stylist, I can't do this all on my own, which is why I have my own French PA.
Yes. I'd like to have a French PA because it's classier.
And then the waiter comes and she goes, oui, oui. Okay, you're very French, and yes, you're in a place called the Governor talking to the Governor with French Betty, Ugly Betty working for you. Okay,
and she is, you know, of course, a saint amongst humans. And she's like, she is French, and I do try to help her, especially with these difficult words. And they cut to her saying, all right, Leah, could you book a reservation? You know what that means. I'm like, I'm pretty sure reservation is the same in French, reservation.
But Leah's like, Dina? You want the dinner? Okay, I have to clear, and don't forget the shoes. Okay, shoes, and then the, and the hair. Don't forget to fix your hair. Okay, and what is the shoes? Shoes, you know, for your feet. Shoes, like right there.
Leah, oh my God. Could you get me a croissant, or as you say, a croissant? Croissant, do you understand that word in French?
What is this croissant shoe? What is croissant shoe?
Leah,
I don't know this word, croissant shoe.
Leah, I would like to... Could you go and order me a café au lait? Does that make sense to you in French?
Café au lait? This is the Spanish?
Oh my God, this girl. She's like, oh, I have so much going on, especially with my new line of clothing coming out. Like, oh my, really? Is it for like volleyball stars?
Like, or as they say in French, volley, bolley?
I've got my new wrestling, my new female wrestling bodywear coming out.
It represents the women of New Zealand who are on teams.
So she has a book. What book is she looking for? I don't know why I was laughing, but it's like, I just wrote this book is all scratched out.
I didn't even register that there was a book. I was just amused.
Or what we need to talk about buttons. Okay, here, ring the button people every day.
Oh, yes.
And she's like, okay, I can do this. She's like, I have confidence in Leah. I give her a tisk, and it happens.
And she's really good about fetching eclairs. I love that about her.
We need to create a team for 2016 and 2017 summer. Bus stops, sign-ins, color-blocked bus stops. Got the block sign. You know what I'd love? A streamlined porthole cover.
You know what I do? When I can tell that Leah can't understand what I'm saying, I just speak in her language. Grey poupon, escargot.
Bottle.
Omelette.
Bottle.
Champagne.
Bottle.
And then she goes, we're great partners. And then she holds up her hand for a high five and she hits it and she's like, I told her that.
Sandra Pompidou.
It's a high five.
So, so then we go over to Julia, and since she didn't really get the gab session that she was hoping for at the vampire treatment, she does the next best thing, which is invite a gay over. So she invites over Che, and she basically is like, I just want someone who's going to agree with me no matter what I say. So I got invited a makeup artist ever. They're the best at that. I'm like, you got it.
But he doesn't even follow her lead. She's like, he goes, how did it go? How did it go, darling? Looks good. But he's got like this yikes face. And she goes, I took my friends for support to get my neck done. And when I had needles in my throat, they started attacking me and told me off for passing on gossip. And they said that they couldn't trust me anymore because I'd passed on gossip. And he goes, oh, what did you say?
Yeah.
And she's like, it feels like you're attacking me too.
Oh my God. Even just smiling like her made me cough. I'm trying to hold my face like hers, and it hurts.
So he suddenly realizes that he was like, oh, wait, I let my honest opinion come out instead of being a good makeup artist, which is just fawn over you.
She's so, like, agree with me, and he goes, you're the paying customer.
He literally says that. He's like, all right, I will hold him out myself. All right, go on, say what you said. She's like, I had every right to call Gilda a gold digger. Well, to say that Anne called her a gold digger, I didn't say anything. I was just doing what was right. I'm just a truth teller here. That's all.
And he's like, ew. Like, so bored with her.
And she just talks herself into a tizzy. And she's like, Louise is a complete two-faced bitch.
I'm like, what? He's like, ooh. And she goes, talking to this giant bald guy is getting me more worked up. And listen to the way he's saying, ew, if anything happens, it's his fault. He's like, ooh.
Now do me a favor, get rid of all the garlic. I can't have it anymore. So then we go over to a store called Trendsetter, which is not the same as Trendsetter, which makes sense because Angela would never truly be a trendsetter, but she would be a Trendsetter. So she goes there to look at furniture, and she invites Michelle to join her, which is a little weird because they haven't been totally getting along.
Well, Michelle,
now that we're friends, I'd like to show you how to seat a trend. Sometimes you've got a trend that just needs a seat. So you can just really learn to understand it.
Yeah. And Michelle's trying to steer Angela into some bold contemporary designs and patterns and colors. And Angela's like, I'm really just drawn to black and white. That's all I really like is black and white. I'm like, you realize you're dressed like a bottle of V8, right? You're just like...
Also, you guys know that someone can't design your apartment without having seen it first, right? Yeah.
Well, that's why Michelle does invite her. I mean, Angela does try to invite Michelle over to the apartment. And Michelle's like, I don't know if I can do that. It's a little strange.
Yeah. I like when Michelle goes, your home reflects your style. She's like, yes, your style, who you are. Stupid.
Now, Angela, could you please be careful? It seems to be that you're knocking a lot of the pillows off the couches, what with your heavy footsteps and all.
I like that she starts right in. She's like, black and white couch, look at that. Well, I have to tell you, I'm glad to spend time with you, Michelle, after Louise delivered such awful, awful things at the dinner table. She's like, actually, you delivered those things.
She's like, yeah, well,
Pussy
it's...
Palace.
Yeah, she's like, well, it's... very unfortunate that I was the messenger. I wasn't doing anything but just being the messenger of gossip that Louise said. And would you believe also that Anne called her a gold digger? I'm just an innocent messenger here. Just, you know, the Lady of New Zealand.
Quite. She's like, you want to spend more time here in Auckland, right? Because the social scene is small. The races. The polo. You know, the walking in tunnels and such. Because this is Gilda's town. You understand that, right? And she goes... well, I've never seen her at those events.
Okay. You know, okay, I've gone to the biggest sheep competitions in all the country, and I've never seen Gilda there at any one of them.
Do you know how many horses I've raced in my styling career? Many. And I've never seen Gina there running the track.
It's like I always said, ugly Betty. Bonjour ce soir. Voulez-vous coucher? Bonjour. Down on your gut.
You know, I always say, don't lick a gift horse in the mouth, because I really don't like being licked in the mouth when I'm giving someone a gift.
And isn't it so nice of me to give gifts, isn't it? Like, here's my book. Here's another copy of it.
And she's like, well, I'll try and get along with Gilda, even though, you know, she doesn't own the entire social scene. But it's good knowing now that we've talked that my hands are, and she, like, claps her hands, clean of this one.
Like, what? Michelle, what did you do to exonerate yourself?
She's so nuts. And Michelle's like, I think you got them dirty, honey.
By dirty, you mean I got them cleaned. I agree totally. Now, here's a digger.
Here's a digger out of my back from my chest.
I'm handing it to you with my clean hands. There's the dirty hands. Clean hands, I agree.
So next, Michelle goes, of course, and gets Gilda to shop and talks shit about how she just furnished her shop with crazy Angela.
Yeah.
What are we going to wear tonight, honey? I went shop. Oh, she's like, after. Why am I writing Gilda for everything? I was going crazy, by the way, writing notes
for
this. Me too.
My notes make no sense. So if any of my commentary sounds strange, it's because my notes make no sense today. So,
she's like, Angela invited me to pick out furniture, and she said everything was orchestrated by Louise. And Gilda goes, this is what she did. If someone vomits over here, and then somebody picks up the vomit, and they bring it to me, and they throw it in my face, I'm not mad at the person who vomited. I'm mad at the face thrower. Okay?
The metaphors in her brain are very unique. They're very evocative. If someone vomit on horse, and horse give you gift, and gift is a vomit of box, but the box was collected the vomit, and originally it was cupcake, but cupcake with vomit, I'm not mad at who made cupcake, because the vomit is from someone else.
And she says, well, I think that Louise gave her a bone, and Angela ran with it. And she's like, I'm neighbors with Louise. I'm shocked. Maybe she's going through midlife crisis. And she goes, isn't that in the past, dear? Honey, you are so close.
So then, and then at one point, randomly, Michelle was trying to get Gilda to wear some sort of, like, kitty ears, and Gilda just goes, she was trying to get me to wear these minky ears, and I don't want them.
I will not wear monkey ears. They're like black Christmas trees. No. Michelle's like, you're insulting me now. You're insulting me. Okay, Michelle. Yeah. So, Anne.
First time I'm having a pussy party at Goose Creek. These girls better behave. You have no idea the work that went into it.
Yeah, Anne is setting up for her big party, and one of the things that she has set up is a shrine for all her favorite dead cats. Not all the dead cats, just her favorite ones. And she is basically, you know, the second coming of T.S. Eliot. Like, she's writing cats, too, you know, because we see her cats. There's Claude. There's Nero. Nero
had seizures, and he couldn't hear very well. And sometimes you put the blow dryer on, he couldn't hear the blow dryer. It was a crazy little cat, little pussy with the blow dryer. He loved it so much, but now he's dead.
Ginger, my special wee man. Off the street you came to us, so old and frail and weak. But with such a sweet little face and a huge heart. I loved you at first sight, and you fitted in so well.
I mean, girl, you're getting these things ground up into dust, put into wooden boxes, and then having, like, golden frames put on them. You need to get the grammar straight.
But what about Tabitha, last of the old brigade? She used to dance over at the Moulin Rouge. Now she came to New Zealand penniless, but we found her. And she came back here, and she had quite the lively end of her life until she passed away from consumption herself.
Claude, our little battler. Always a feisty, talkative wee man. Who took ballet until he contracted polio in a swimming pool.
Nadja, the king of the pensioner pussies. She sailed the far high seas for many years until he met the love of his life, Bernadette. But alas, Bernadette got killed by a truck and Nadja never got over it until he died in my arms, a sad old kitty.
Tabitha, the last of the old brigade, who died after tasting Captain Crunch and refusing to eat any chicken I served her thereafter. I respect you sticking to your guns, Tabby, even though it sent you to heaven.
Bunny Pop, a cat that was named after a bunny and also a soda, had a storied life, ran for governor of this fair state, lost by 35 million votes, but still gave it a good old college try, and we never told her that she lost in the first place. So when she died, she thought she was still in office. Good old cat she was.
Flippity Germity, the little kitty I tripped over in the backyard one day and said flippity dippity. I'll never forget falling onto my ankle and how you purred around me, smelling like death and eaten bugs, until the garden man hit you on the head with a shovel and sent you to heaven with Ginger and Poodley.
Daffodil! Oh, Daffodil, last of the circus cats, the way she would ride up and down, parapatai-patai-fla-drive, with a penny farthing and a parasol. She brought joy to everyone's houses, even after she went blind. What a great little kitty she was, until she drove her little penny farthing right into the ocean. What a great little cat she was.
Dead Pussy Palace!
I mean, there are just boxes everywhere with these fucking dead cats in them and terrible poetry on them.
My little Scarlet Pimpernel.
It's like, oh my god.
Oh, man. So good.
Maybe we should put some cats over here too.
And he's like, the statues of cats are the dead cats.
Darling, what do you mean dead? They're not dead. The ashes are my babies now.
Good. Cuddling up with dirt.
Yeah. So it's time for the big party, and unfortunately there are some electricity issues, because we were told that the outlet is only to be used for the fairy lights, and someone else, perhaps the band.
The fairy lights, it's those damn fairy lights.
The damn fairy lights. Did that band plug into the fairy lights outlet? That's only for fairy lights. Oh, fairy lights reminds me of my favorite cat. Fairy lights, same name. Oh, she was a good cat, also electrocuted herself. Too bad.
Last time these electricity boxes went out was when Fairy Cat put her little tiny paw into this outlet and blew out everything. That's why we call these lights fairy lights.
She was looking for a sardine. Poor oh little God. Girl. Now she's in heaven with all the sardines she could ever want. Oh, fairy light.
Alan! 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 Oh, thank God you're here, Alan.
He's like, I've been right next to you the entire time.
He's like, I've been gardening, cleaning the pool, and fixing dinner. What can I do for you? Cat eaters. I'm sorry. I'm just like, I'm reading my notes, and I watched this a few days ago, and these notes are crazy.
We have a big problem, cat eaters.
Yeah.
I can't have my pussies getting cold. My pussy is cold. What to do?
So she's freaking out. I'm like, lady, just find the fuse box and flip some switches. But apparently not even that would work. So she calls up the electrician, and he comes. She gives him some champagne, and the party is back on. And now... this is hilarious. All these people show up to the party, and all these women are wearing furs. It's like so tone deaf. Save the cats, and they're all wearing furs. And one lady's like, oh, yes, it's South American skunk. And then someone else is like, oh, mine, I think it's raccoon. I'm like, do you just like scoop them off the side of the road? where are you getting your jackets?
Pull some fur!
And Anne's like,
Well, the main thing is they should be killed humanely. Pussy!
And some lady goes, oh, yes, and not for profit anyhow. Like, what do you think? Did you get yours for free?
Yeah. I'm sure that possum family is very proud that their child died for a free jacket for some old lady.
Yeah.
You jerks.
So they show up. So Angela and Leah show up, and Ugly Bette has this little kitty nose on and some whiskers. So she looks ridiculous. And Angie clearly drew all over her face. That way she would look less desirable. And, of course, Angie's like, you look really great, Leah. Really cute. Or as they say in French, relay cute.
It's like, oh, what are these shoes?
Ah, merci, merci, merci.
So Anne's like,
Angela arrived in a skin tight cat suit. Wow. It was holding everything in, I'll tell you that.
So Anne goes, and then
So Leah's from France. Bonsoir. Come have some champagne, my little pussy. Who brings their PA to a party?
It Angela. Is a little weird.
Angela does. Notre Dame, Eiffel Tower.
So, So then Julia shows up wearing the exact same cat suit as Angela. So this, of course, causes a little bit of a tizzy between them.
Well, we may be wearing the exact same cat suit, but our body shapes are different. She's voluptuous and I'm thin. It looks different.
Like, oh, Julia.
Yeah. You know, I just look excellent in mine on account of having just had a vampire bite my neck.
My neck is more realistic, more whiskers.
Am I a cat? Am I a bat? I don't know.
I like Anne, who's having a pussy party with dead cats and boxes everywhere you turn, and fairy lights that blew out all of her lights, goes,
they're wearing the same cat suit. How embarrassing is that?
I'm like, you have people wearing skunks.
A South American skunk.
You are trying to get $8,000 for some faux fur coat made out of rats from the 70s. Like, please.
There's like, this coat was made from the entire cast of The Great Mouse Detective.
Well, Louise didn't give a shit. She wore a full-length fur.
Yeah.
She's like, I felt great, like a movie star. And as a matter
a
of
movie
fact,
star that hates animals. Now, what's this charity? Oh.
You look warmer. You look warmer than me. I chose the wrong dress and the wrong fairy lights as well.
She's like, well, it's a party of cats, but I don't care. I'll wear that coat by hook or by crook.
She's like, I just don't give a fuck. Yeah. It's kind of liberating. These women who are like, I don't care what people say about me. I paid thousands of dollars for this fur coat. It's the only nice thing I have, and I'm going to wear it on TV.
Fuck yeah, boo.
Yeah. So then, yeah, Michelle shows up, and she's sort of halfway. She's in a cat suit, but she has fur on it. And then Gilda is last, and she also is doing the cat suit thing. And Gilda is just not happy to be there. She's like, I'm stepping into a gathering of terribles. I was like, oh, the origin
with
story
gold
for Hillary
shoes.
Clinton.
Yeah. I'm wearing gold shoes. They show her shoes walking through the grass. She's, like, disgusted by grass. She's like, ugh, grass. So Anne's like, look, it's Gilda. To Louise, who says this, you don't expect me. Oh, well, Gilda
comes in. She doesn't.
Louise. Yeah. So Anne gives her big hugs, and then Gilda doesn't hug Louise, and she's like, "You don't expect me to kiss you, do you? After that nasty comment you made about me, you're not stupid. After that lost comment you made about me, you're not stupid."
Terrible.
Like, well, you know what I'd call that? Frosty.
Good thing fun. I have my fur coat on.
Yeah. That's straight up belligerence. Well, Gilda, like, I'm being hunted, to be honest.
The real frostiness is Gilda turning to Angie and saying, "Oh, and you don't get the hello." So then Angela turns to Bette and is basically like, "She's the nasty one, and she looks nasty too."
And then she goes, "Leah knew exactly what I meant." She doesn't know what shoes are, okay?
Leah had no idea. She's like, "Does this mean I'm getting deported?" So Anne finally puts on her fur after complaining about freezing for so long. She's like, "I have to put on my fur. I don't care if it's a cat event. I have to put it on. I can't die. I can't die."
And Gilda's just standing around giving everyone dirty looks. So Louise tells us, "I know why Gilda's upset. She thinks I called her a goddamn saddy whore stripper face," or whatever. It was a long beep.
It was the beep, beep, beep. Yeah.
She goes, "Now listen here, Gilda. We've got to have this out right now because I've got some explaining to do, and I do not want to continue this on the wrong foot because you've got the wrong idea." Yeah. She's like, "Well, I respect her, so she has a chance to explain. She is not stupid."
"Now listen here, Gilda. When I said that you were beep with a ee on a hot tin roof with a beep with a fee on a ee under a ee, I just meant that I'd already heard it, so whatever Angie had to say is not going to open my eyes."
She says, "There's a huge rumor that will make your hair curl." And I said, "If that's the rumor, we've all heard it." And she's like, "Did you believe this rumor?" She goes, "I don't know. I don't care." She's like, "Why didn't you shut it down and say, 'No, shut up'?" And she said, "She'd just bring it out later. I figured nip it in the bud. You know, she's going to do this in the first episode. Why wait until episode 13 for her to call you a saddy whore who sucked up the sperm of an entire boat full of Middle Eastern men with sheets over their head, darling?"
So Gilda's like, "Okay." So Louise,
thank you. Okay, I get it.
I think Louise pretty much won over Gilda again when she says, "You know what? I underestimated Angela. I didn't realize that she was that big of a bitch."
Huge
bitch.
So Michelle's like, "Are we cool?" And Louise says, "We're cool. I'm standing up for her." And Michelle's like, "I don't believe that was standing up for her, what you did." She's like, "I did. Angela's just coming after her." And Louise says, "We had a frank and long discussion, and I think we're good." I don't think you are, but I like your positivity.
Yes, I do too. I do too. So then Julia's like, "I think that Michelle is getting too caught up in the drama, so I thought I should distract her. And what better way to do it than to show her Anne's daycare?" So she's gonna.
"I wanted to show you this crazy room because the taste is so different."
"Isn't it crazy? Because you're contemporary, and Anne is, she's just a total greenie. So you're contemporary, she's a greenie. Isn't that a crazy thing to see? Isn't it crazy?"
"Do you have a china display?"
Michelle's like, and she goes,
"It's antique, isn't it?"
"Very."
"Old lady."
"Very."
"Decrepit, is that what you're trying to say?"
"Very."
"Look, it's
old,
a cassette.
Old disgusting slag, is that what you're calling in right now?"
She's just like trying to do her thing where she's baiting her into saying shit that she can take back later.
Pretty much.
"Wouldn't you say that Anne is so unbearably old now, Michelle? You're saying that, right?" "Yes, you just said that. You said that."
"Well, yeah, would you imagine this picture's taken in? She's holding the first rifle ever made. She looks like a cartoon. Did someone draw this? Did you say this looks like a drawing from the 1020s?
Do you like this jewelry? It's like costume jewelry. You said that, right? It's costume jewelry. You said that she's cheap, right? She doesn't have any money. Wow, Michelle, you're really saying a lot of things right now."
Michelle goes, "She has so many pictures of herself in old faded Technicolor."
When was it from? 1920s? So, yeah, so they're like...
I know, I like all this stuff. She's like, a cassette! A cassette! Well, it won't be Snoop Dogg. What is it, Whistling Dixie? Oh my God, you guys.
Why were they surprised? Why were they surprised at this, that Anne has granny sensibilities? I mean, look at her. She loves, she's old, she drinks champagne, and she loves cats.
Yeah, I hate, especially the woman whose face looks crazy, and she just went to the doctor to get shit taken out of her ass and put in her neck.
Yeah.
And she's just trying to make as many age jokes as she can. And when Michelle goes, is that cassette Dixie? She goes,
that's the nickname for my husband, Dixie Normus.
I was like, ugh, that is so gross. We've seen your husband.
Yeah.
Okay? He looks like Dick Cheney. current Dick Cheney.
Yeah. Like,
not good.
Dick. Dick. Just dick. Like dick. Boom. Okay, so then down.
Eat the pussies!
It's like Anne, every time Anne starts, she's like,
eat the pussy galore, party, save the pussies!
So Michelle gets on stage because now comes the auction, and she's wearing this possum vest, and so she's supposed to be modeling it, and everyone's like, I can't believe that. That's, you know, Michelle's a model, and shouldn't she be doing a catwalk thing? What's she doing? I mean, I could have done it. So she's up there, they're auctioning it. It gets sold for a few thousand dollars. And then Michelle comes downstairs from the stage. Not downstairs, but comes off the stage. And she's standing with the women. And Michelle is like, well, this is an event for cats. So let me be a little catty a little bit. So she just turns to Angie and Julia, who are wearing the identical cat suits. And she's like, hey, well, Beta, is it Julia? Is it Angie? Oh, I bet it was Julia because she's thin and she's not a giant. And then she just like a high five. And Angie's just like...
Angela goes,
stewing.
She goes, what kind of woman compares another woman to another woman?
Right in front of here.
Every woman ever.
Yeah.
How could you compare me in front of another me?
So,
who compares one bread maker to another bread maker to another bread maker side by side? Amazon, bitch. That's how we know who has the best reviews.
Who goes comparison shopping and compares one thing to another, to another.
Yet me, as so, I would say in French.
So Angie just gets totally pissed, and she just sort of grunts and looks away, and Michelle goes, pull your tummy in, sweetie. Pull your tummy in.
And she goes, I'm a size 10. And she goes, you're not. You're at least a 12. You're delusional. And she keeps saying it. Maybe it'll happen. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being a plus size model whatsoever. You seem to be ashamed of it. She's like, my size, my shape, my look represents the New Zealand woman. And you're not even a New Zealander, Michelle. I was like, oh God.
And then Kilda's like, how do you define a New Zealand woman? And Angela's just like, what's wrong, Gilda? What's wrong with you?
Like, what's wrong with you in her face? Oh, in her face. Yeah. And she's like, get out of her face. And she's like, she's not a little woman. She's a big lady. When she comes into your face, I'm like, uppercut. She starts laughing.
Yeah. So Angie goes, just tell us who you are. Tell us who you are. And Gilda goes, I am everything that you are not. And Angie goes, no, I am everything that you are not. I'm like, you realize that's the exact same thing.
You know? Angela's so stupid. By the way, Anna's still up on stage for the auction going,
quiet down over there, ladies. It's a serious matter.
And she's like, I'm everything. You're not. You're the little runt. And Gilda starts laughing, and she's like, runt, that's the best you've got. And then Angela tells us, runt or cunt, and laughs. I didn't say that. Oh, I did. I was like, you are basically Louis Anderson pretending to be some lady in New Zealand. Like, who are you kidding right now?
And then she goes, and I'm the big runt of the litter, and the big runt always gets picked first. I'm like, you realize you just called yourself a runt also? Like, I like how you include yourself in your own insults with someone.
Yeah. The big runt gets picked first. So does the biggest heifer. You're not winning any fight.
I'm the big runt, but I'm not so big to be a 12-size big runt. I'm a size 10 big runt.
Ladies, quiet down over there. You're talking too loud, too much champagne. First time I've ever said that.
So then after this little dust up, Angela gets up on stage because she is auctioning off, or Anna's auctioning off, a styling session with Angela Stone. It's like the first bid is Julia, and the second bid is Leah, and it just goes back and forth between Julia and Leah, yeah, which is so sad.
It is her so assistant. Crazy. It's her fucking assistant doing it. And then they keep, everyone sees it. You know, Gilda's like, I cannot believe it.
Yeah.
And Gilda goes, is that insider trading? Yeah. I don't know if it's legal, to be honest. But it's funny watching Gilda laugh. She thinks this girl is hilarious now.
Yeah.
And so the host is like, 3,000, come on, bid up. And Angela's like, it's all for the pussy. She's like,
it's all about the pussycats. It's all, I'm not popular. It's all about the pussycats because they don't have diggers in their back, all right?
Oh, my God. And so the... It's like 3,000 now, and Leah keeps raising her hands, and Angela's like, No!
Ixnay on the eating bay.
And then Anne's like,
well, that was well done. It was tricky and possibly illegal, but it worked for the pussies. Now, someone who also cares about pussy, a washed-up lesbian rock star. Take it over, darling.
Now, everyone, let's listen to some music from my Lord cover band. Featuring Kimbra. So basically they dance the night away, and essentially Anne and Louise are good again. And
the song is Lady, Lady, Lady. I like that they're just sticking with their pussy theme the whole way through.
Yeah.
And Angela goes, Angela's hopping around like an idiot. I mean, it's like Hagrid is like in a pile of ants, you know? And Gilda goes, ugh. And you just see her watching in disgust. Gilda for the win on this show.
Always. Gilda is great. I love Gilda. Angela's awful, but she's hilariously awful. She's also for the win. So,
yeah, I'm liking all of them. None of them are afraid.
It's so funny. It is so, so funny. Their fights are amazing. And Michelle, it's funny because Michelle really does go in for the kill. But I actually feel like the things that she says, the things she says to Michelle, are the things that I feel like models would say to fellow models. And I think the fact that Angela keeps getting offended shows that she's not really a model.
Yeah, Angela would go into a casting and they'd be like, all right, well, you're, you know, an older mom type. And she'd be like, how dare you? You know, that's what they tell you in auditions. Yeah. You have to get over it.
Yeah, I mean, even Catherine Dennis can deal with it. So you can too, Angela. So,
well, barely.
Barely. Why don't we move over to the Crappin's mailbag, shall we?
Let's do Urban.
Well, I'm trying to play it, but I accidentally started playing the music into my Apple TV. So, there it is. All right, Crappin's mailbag is where listeners get to send in questions and comments. And we read them on the air. You just all have to do it. You just have to go to Patreon and support us at the Crappin's mailbag level or above. So, let's see. What do we have today in our Crappin's mailbag? This is from Farah, okay? Or Farah.
Hi, Farah.
Farah. She says, I'm sorry, but I just don't get it, okay? Who the F is Geraldine Parsons Smith? She sounds like a real B.I. Can you please explain if this is a real person, someone Ben and Ronnie made up, or a friend from Ramona's past? From which season and episode is she first referenced? And when explaining it, have a little respect, okay? You'll understand after you've been married for 30 freaking years. Ugly Botox fake cry. Ugly Botox fake cry. Okay, Farah. We are always happy to answer this question. This is one of our most commonly asked questions. And it seems we can never answer it enough. And it's always fun to answer it. Ronnie, why don't you answer it? I feel like I'm always answering. Why don't you give the answer to this one?
No, you answer it. I always answer it.
Really? I feel like I always do. Okay. So, Farah, here's your answer, okay? So, back in, I think, season 6 of Real Housewives of New York City, Kristen Takeman organized a whole trip to Montana. And on one of the days of the trip, she planned an excursion where the gang was going to go geocaching, which involved using these little things that would show you where your GPS was, and you had to go to a coordinate, and Ramona didn't want to do it. And this was the season where Ramona freaked out in the Berkshires about being in the woods, and she started to cry, and she started to have these childhood flashbacks. So that was the birth of our ongoing joke about Ramona having childhood trauma flashbacks from anything. Woods, pineapples, who knows what. So when she didn't want to go geocaching, we came up with a bit where we said, whoa, this is crazy. I can't go geocaching because one time when I was a child, I was friends with someone named Geraldine Parsons Smith, and she was really mean to me. She was so nasty to me my entire childhood. And so to this day, I can't be around anything that's named GPS because it stands for Geraldine Parsons Smith. Or something like that.
Yeah. It was basically Geraldine Parsons Smith is the GPS.
Exactly.
And you son of a bitch, you just keep saying Geraldine Parsons Smith.
Well, I feel like it has to be incorporated into like any Ramona. Like if Ramona is ever being mentioned once per episode, Geraldine Parsons Smith has to come up. but you have a complimentary inside joke with it, which is that you created the joke about Ramona's father throwing spaghetti at her mother, right?
Yes. Because she started with these stories just to get out of doing anything that anybody wanted her to do on that trip. And then remember, she left early and she's like, I have my friend's helicopter coming early because I can't be in the Berkshires because my dad one time yelled at my mom. And she started going through all these traumatic stories, which I don't doubt that she had a rough childhood, but she was only using them to get out of being at Heather's event.
Right.
And I just thought it was always funny because they were so silly at the end. It's like, okay, threw some spaghetti at my head.
And so usually the way the pattern is that usually I will start with a Geraldine Parsons Smith memory, and then you usually chime in with something that builds onto it that involves spaghetti being thrown at her mom.
Yeah. But those are our old Ramona patterns.
But what's great is I really want someone... And whoever does this must have the patience of an angel to go through and stitch together all the stories of Geraldine Parsons Smith and Ramona's dad that we've created over the years and create the story of Ramona's childhood as told by these Geraldine Parsons Smith stories. Because she's just been tormented endlessly by this woman who
I know, and it's like these stupid little things that torment her too.
And it's still unclear whether Geraldine Parsons Smith is a childhood friend or frenemy of Ramona, or is she like a friend of her dad? Because at one point, I think it sort of sounded like Geraldine Parsons Smith may have had some sort of romantic affair with the father. I can't tell. I don't know where our fan fiction went, but
I know it's so hard to remember.
Yeah, but there, yes. So we get this question a lot, Farrah. You're not the only one, and we are always happy to answer it. We'll do it like
GPS,
every 2 months.
Okay.
GPS. Jess Dang asks, With Bravo premiering Auckland, it has got me super missing the Melbourne ladies. Can you guys give us a conversation between Gina, Gamble, and Janet discussing the new Auckland Housewives? I'm just hankering for some Melbourne impersonations. Thanks.
Okay, who do you want to be?
I'll be Gamble.
Okay. So listen, welcome back. It's great to film with you for another season. Let's face it, I'm Gina.
Oh, and I'm Gamble, and I'm not here with Wolfie, my Mizma Wolf Pup.
Well, it's me, Janet, who... also happens to be the same voice as someone called the Cat Lady, whatever that is.
Chicken is what she says her cats.
I hope that we can come back and be friends this time, Gina, because we really do get along better than any other old gal on this show, don't we, darling?
Ladies, I have just announced my new book. It's called Petit Fleur, The Champagne Cat Lady.
You've been fired, then?
Oh, sure. Beat up on me. Just because I tried to switch the bitch and make a cat thing, now you say it's not original. Fine, just beat up on poor Petit Fleur.
I also heard your boyfriend's son broke up with you. Blah!
Hey, Pettifleur, do you want to be my daughter? Would that make your life a little bit happier? That way you can write books about me, your mother.
Not unless you have a son to date.
Oh, can we write a book about Wolf Pop? Oh, Wolfie.
Maybe you should have thought of buying a self-playing piano then, eh?
All right, I think, ladies, this has just been a big old misunderstanding. How about we just have some tea with Brucey and have a great day with it, okay?
You've been fired too! Blah!
Oh, shine, get fucked.
My angel told me I'm going to possibly have a baby this season. Shine.
You know what I'd say to your baby? I'd say, get the hell out of my body right this instant, baby.
Listen, baby, you don't have the smell of romance, so get out of my body right now.
Because I'm fearless.
So we mentioned earlier that Gina announced that the show is finished, it's in the can, which means that we'll be coming back to Australian TV quite soon, but it means it won't be coming to American TV for another year or so. So let's all be sad together, shall we?
Yeah, it usually takes a while. People always are like, when is Melbourne going to come? And so we just have to be patient. We want everyone to be patient, and let's just enjoy Auckland while we have Auckland.
Yeah, guys.
So let's close up that mailbag. Yes. I'm pretty much brain dead at this point, so let's just wrap up this week of Crappins, shall we?
What a fun week, everybody.
Yeah, super fun. Go buy your tickets to whatever show is available to you. Chicago, New York, you can buy tickets in New York, it won't be us, but Chicago, LA, just do it, guys.
Yeah, good luck, New York people. Oh, I just lost a watch clasp. Oh, God, I guess I've got something to do for the next half hour.
All right, everyone. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Bye.